Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. We just praise you and we glorify you, Father, because you're worthy. You're our God and our Father. We thank you, Father, that tonight we're going to do some warfare and you're going to answer our prayers. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that when we do come together and we pray like this, the demons shudder and the enemy shudders. And Father God, we just praise you and glorify you for all that you're going to accomplish tonight. We thank you, Father, that your glory is upon us. The Shekinah glory has come down, and we praise you for it, Father, for an anointing to pray against the enemy. And we praise you and we glorify you, Father, that we don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to fear anything. We don't have to get anxious about anything. All we have to do is believe your word. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father, that we all are looking in the mirror and we're seeing Jesus. Every day we're seeing Jesus. We're looking more like Jesus every day. And I praise you for that, Father God. And I thank you, ooh, glory be to God. I thank you, Lord, for tonight. And I thank you, Father, for answering all our prayers. I know that we have an open heaven to you, Father, and that when we pray, multitudes, hosts of angels go to work. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. I thank you, Father, for all the testimonies tonight, too. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Okay. Anybody else got a prayer request? Yeah, Teresa.
What comes to my mind as you say that is Terry pops up into my mind because he's got to deal with court things, and I mean it's a real sad time for him. He would rather his family stay together, you know, because he loves his wife, he loves his kids, but it's his wife that's ornery. he's got to deal at court with her, and so. You know, so he needs help. You know, he needs God's help. Just in whatever way God wants to handle it.
Okay. You want to pray or you want us to pray?
I want you to pray because I really don't know what to pray right now.
Okay. All right. Father,
except help him, God.
Yeah. Let's see. That's Terry, isn't it?
Yeah, Terry.
All right, Lord, we lift up Terry to you. Father, we thank you for the work that you're already doing in him. I know you're working in him, and I know, Father, that every day he gets closer and closer to you because he sees how he has failed in his life. And we praise you, Father, for doing that because you'll encourage him. You'll bring him up, grow him up in you, and he'll be a mighty, mighty man of God when you're through with him, Father. And we thank you for that. Lord, we just ask that you open up his spiritual eyes to see the things that he needs to see. Give him discernment and wisdom in his words. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for the great outcome that's going to come from these court cases and that he'll see your hand working in every one of them, Lord. And I thank you for doing that for Terry. And Lord, I thank you for his angel that's sitting by his side, encouraging him, speaking words of faith into his ear. And Father, we thank you for placing it in Terry to read his Bible and do what the Bible says. And Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We're going to see him on this outreach before too much longer. In the name of Jesus, we speak and declare and decree that in the name of Jesus, that faith is going to, Terry is going to be a part of this fellowship. In the name of Jesus, or one like it, it makes no difference. Just Lord, we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father, for the work that you've already done and the work that you're fixing to do in him, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anybody else want to pray for Terry? All right, thank you, Lord. It is done, in Jesus' name. All right. Ben, go ahead.
Well, I got a couple of things to bring up. The weekend, we're going to be doing a family Christmas get-together. We haven't seen these people. Well, I'm going with my dad, obviously. We haven't seen these people in a couple of years in a huge party like this. So I just want to pray that all things go smoothly. And it is the Christmas season, so everyone's very excited about that. So I just want to pray against any sort of spirits that are trying to administer through our family that way. Lord Father God, I thank you again for bringing this to my attention. I thank you for the spirits to commune with my family again. Lord Father God, I love these people very much. And Lord Father God, I just want to pray a hedge of protection over my household, over my family, and that we all come together as family in love, and that it's going to be all done in your glory, Father. We thank you. I rebuke all these religious spirits that want to divide, and I want to pray peace and love over my family. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. We bind up all spirits of argumentative and divisiveness right now in the name of Jesus, that it will not be evident in this family reunion in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Love and joy and peace is going to be evident. Thank you, Lord. Glory
and,
be to God.
And I'm going to be seeing Karen tomorrow, and I don't know, something was, I think it was from one of the recent teachings that David did. He kind of talked about Christmas a little bit. I forget when. I think it was Sunday or Wednesday. And, you know, I kind of put it on my heart. I got to celebrate Christmas with my mom because she's stuck in that, and I'm kind of stuck in that little party that she does every year. It's not bad, but, you know, we all understand what Christmas
well,
comes
you
from.
You got to be weak to the week.
Yeah, exactly. And Karen really loves the Christmas, and it's really putting it on me to tell her something about it or to at least have a conversation about it. She loves Christmas. She loves the tree. She loves all that stuff. And, you know, she understands that Halloween's bad, but I don't think she understands where it all comes from and the huge lie that's behind it. And I don't know, maybe a bit of some advice maybe from more learned brethren could tell me if I'm overstepping some or I'm trying to lead a conversation that's not supposed to be there or something. I don't know.
Don't do what I did to my boys, my grandson. Don't do that. I told them, I just sat them down one day. They wasn't 4 or 5 years old. I said, there ain't no Santa Claus, boys. Here's your Santa Claus right here. This Santa Claus right here. I bought the presents. I worked and slaved and got the money to buy them presents. Now, here's your Santa Claus. Yeah, there you go, Nick. But, boy, did I catch some flack over that. What you can do is give them the history of all the Christmas stuff, and it's all demonic. There's a lot of demonic in it. Yeah, Missy.
Well, you know, just Father, just help Ben to just you open the door for him, and if he's to say anything and put your words in his mouth, that he just rest and it not be his work and his efforts. And Lord, put in his heart scriptures, like Michael said.
Yeah.
And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that would back it up. But amen. Thank you, Lord. And that Karen would just be open to receive it, give her eyes to see and ears to hear. If you open that door, Lord, for Ben to walk through it. In Jesus'
amen.
Name.
Ben, a little bit at a time works a whole lot better than just blasting her. You know, it really does. Do a little bit now. Go ahead.
Well, one time I was talking to my sister about, it wasn't anything about Christmas or whatever, but I remember saying about idolatry and idols and stuff like that. And I can't remember exactly in the context or whatever, but I mentioned about how it says in Jeremiah 3, about, you know, that they cut down a tree and nail it so it doesn't fall over and decorate it with silver. And, you know, that's all I said, you know. And I think my sister, she said, huh, or something like that. I think the Christmas tree instantly came to her mind. It may be wrong. Nothing was ever said about it. But that is just, to me, that is something that's very, very easy to use that scripture and show them, you know. I mean, it's like, thank you, Lord, that she will see whatever you give Ben to give her. And just thank you for that. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, Julie's got a YouTube there in the chat if you want to check it out. It's on Christmas, she said. So you might want to check that out too, Ben. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, it's titled, want to say what its title is. It says, Should Christians celebrate Christmas? Is Christmas biblical? That was the title of the video.
Okay.
It was pretty good.
All right. Mm. Go ahead, Nick.
Well, I just had a prayer request. Up in the upper part of Michigan, they got 3 feet of snow, and then they're supposed to get more on top of it. So they're getting like 4 feet of snow.
Okay. Well, Lord, we thank you for slacking off on the snow. Up in northern Michigan, Father God, we thank you for spreading that out all up in the north, but Father God, we thank you for not bringing any of it down here. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for giving them some slack up there. In the name of Jesus. Boy, that's a lot of snow, Nick.
Yeah. It's all the lake effect snow, even. So.
Yeah. We don't allow it down here. Praise God. Yeah, Julie.
Nick, do you guys have a lot of snow on the ground there?
Not by us, but like north of us, we do.
Okay. Well, that's good. At least you stayed away from your area. Thank you, Lord.
You got any snow, Nick?
There's a little bit on the ground, but not too much. Yeah.
Okay.
We got like about an inch or so.
Yeah, that's about an inch too much for me. Thank you, Lord. All right, I'll tell you what's going on. Putin has said that the WEF, the World Economic Forum, has put out a $45 billion bounty on Trump's head. And we want to pray against that tonight. And I've been praying against it. Father God, I just lift up Trump. I loose confusion right now into the enemy's camp. Against every demonic conspiracy, every enemy's conspiracy against him, be cast to the ground as null and void. And Father God, we thank you for your shield of protection around about him right now. A wall of fire around him to protect him from the enemy. And we praise you for it, Father. Just like you've done people in the past, Father, you can keep him safe and sound and his family safe and sound and his cabinet safe and sound and everything that's part of his government, Father God. We thank you for your wall of fire around him, Father God, and we thank you for all the warrior angels that are round about him that will slay the enemy that tries to come against him in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for doing that. We cast down every witchcraft curse spoken against him right now in the name of Jesus. It is null and void right now, this day, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Glory be to God. We thank you, Father, that you have loosed your angels. Your angels are loosed around about him and his family and his cabinet and all the people around him, Father God, and we praise you and we glorify you, Father, for your safekeeping upon him this day and for the whole time that he's in office and when he's out of office too, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for doing that. Thank you, Lord, for this great and wonderful shield of protection around him. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers him too, Lord, that no attack from the enemy would prosper in Jesus' mighty name. Glory be to God. Thank you for doing that for him and his family and his cabinet and all the people around him, Father God. And we thank you for it. And we thank you, Father, for exposing the enemy right now in Jesus' name, to expose it to the world, Lord. And we praise you and glorify you in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Julie.
Father, I thank you, Lord, that fear and confusion are coming into all of the deep state right now about even considering taking this blood money in Jesus' name, that they would have the fear of God fall upon them and they would not want it and not want to come near it, and that fear would fall upon them. They know they can't win. They know they can't win. We just command failure to all their plans, schemes, and devices, and all their threats in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for bringing down all of these criminals in Jesus' name, all these Satanists, and that they cannot continue to run and hide. We cast down all their plans of deep state, all the deep state's plans for false flag events, everything to take away the attention of the manpower of the military and anything that they're doing, Lord, that would that would interfere with the progress of what you're doing through Donald Trump, Cyrus, and through this administration. I thank you, Lord, for giving us total victory. I thank you, Lord, for the hedge protection around them and us, that as we do our warfare, that we are protected too, Lord, that we know who we are and that we are using your armor like we're supposed to be. We're aware that we're in a battle every day and that you've given us your authority. You've given us dominion, and we shall stand and the enemy shall lose. We win. And I thank you, Lord, for all the confirmations that you've been giving us all along about what your plans are. So Lord, this is still our training. And I thank you, Lord, for girding everybody up to be able to do their warfare, Lord, and pray in the Spirit and be led of your Spirit. And I thank you, Lord, for the victory that we already have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I wanted to ask for prayer. One of my managers, she's going for surgery on Friday for knee surgery.
Okay. All right. What's his name or her name?
Her name is Karen.
Karen?
Yeah.
Okay. Lord, we lift up Nick's manager, Karen. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, that he wants to pray for her and keep her safe from any harm. We thank you, Father, for guiding these. Did you say she was going in for surgery, Nick?
Yeah.
Okay, Lord, we thank you for guiding the doctor's hand and healing, getting her on the road to recovery. And the recovery is going to be 100%. And we praise you for that, Father. Not only that, it's going to be quick, too, in Jesus' name. Right, Nick?
Right.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. All right. Anybody else want to pray for Trump? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
Father, I just agree with all these prayers tonight, and thank you for the hedge of protection around President Trump. And we do agree, Lord, that you will expose this attack and this threat from the WEC, and that you would make it known, widely known in the public, that you would expose this threat and that you would bring those that are responsible for contributing to this hit job, basically, and that you bring them to justice. You'd make it known who is behind this, and that you would expose it to even to the mainstream media, Lord, somehow to bring it not just on the various websites and podcasts and whatever, but you would bring it about in your main mainstream media, so to speak, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you for exposing these people and taking the threat away. Turn this attack back upon them, and we thank you for that, Lord. And we praise you, Lord, that nothing can stand against you, that you stand in the heavens and you laugh at the attacks that constantly come upon you and upon your anointed. And we thank you that you have encompassed us by your Holy Spirit and the angels around us to protect us all, including President Trump and his family, his counselors, and all of his organization that he's putting together now. We thank you for that protection, Lord, and we just praise you and thank you for guiding us and protecting us and hearing our prayers, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Missy.
I'm sorry if I repeat anything that anybody's already said. My mom came in and was talking to me, so I didn't hear what y'all were praying. But this is what's in my heart to pray. Well, Father, I just praise you, and I thank you that your angels are round about Trump and all his those that are backing him, his cabinet, and every and all. And no weapon formed against them shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise up in judgment against them, we condemn in the mighty name of Jesus. And we send confusion into the camp of the WEF and anybody else that may want to assassinate Trump or anybody that's affiliated with him. In the name of Jesus, we send confusion that they don't have any time to be trying to do anything towards Trump. You send confusion into the camp of their camp. They fight each other, and they can't even get anything accomplished. And any assassins that are out there, we send the angels to I don't know, just to hinder every effort that they have, that their weapons, whatever weapon or whatever form of that they try to use, is rendered useless. It does not work. It's broken, whatever it is. It's all null and void. There's no harm permitted. He has Psalm 91 protection over him. We pray in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for doing that. And Lord, that even if you choose to let it an attempt be made and it be foiled, Lord, and people know that it was God, like you once again, except in an even bigger way, Lord, to show your might and your power, Lord, of protection upon Trump and rally Trump. we just ask you to make sure that you get all the glory and the honor and the praise, and it all know it was you, Lord. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Take all that money. Take that money, money and from them that they can't even pay anybody.
We send the angels out there to take every nickel from them in Jesus' name.
Right.
Every nickel. all the way down to pennies. They haven't got nothing, but no, we don't even want them to have a penny. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for taking that money away from them and giving it to the poor. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I knew that's what you said.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what I was on my
praise
mind.
Praise Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God.
Yep.
Thank
you, amen.
Father. Thank you, Father, that the gates and plans of hell shall not prevail against him, his cabinet, or his family in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you for shutting down the WEF and shutting down the people and putting them down at Gitmo. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Getting rid of all the evil. Praise God. For Lord, we thank you for blessing Putin, too, for putting it out there. Thank you, Father, for his heart. For I thank him and Trump pretty close. Go ahead, Teresa. Get right back to you, Missy.
Is Psalm 37 appropriate? The whole I won't do the whole thing because it's like 30.
You just go ahead and do what you got to do.
40 verses here.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, do what you got to do.
Okay. Well, in Psalm 32, I thank you, Heavenly Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, that you are Trump's hiding place, and everybody who's working with him. And you are preserving them, Trump, and all the people working with him from trouble. You are compassing him about with your songs of deliverance. You are instructing him and everybody with him and teaching him and all of us in the way which we shall go. You are guiding us because we're with him too. You are guiding us with your eye, guiding Trump with your eye. We're not as the horse or the mule because you've given us understanding. And many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but we that are trusting in you, Lord, mercy shall compass us about, Trump about, everybody who's working with him about, everybody who's for him. We are glad in you, Lord, and he is glad in you, Lord, and we rejoice, we, your righteous, that, Lord, you are making righteous, and we shout for joy, we that all us that are your upright in heart, that you created to be upright. And in Psalm 37, Trump frets not himself because of evildoers, neither is he envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. But Trump is trusting in you, Lord, and doing good. That's the important part right there. And so shall he dwell in the land, and verily he shall be fed. He delights himself also in you, Lord, and you shall give him the desires of his heart. He commits his way to you, Lord. He trusts also in you, and you shall bring it to pass. You shall bring forth his righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. He rests in you, Lord, and waits patiently for you. He frets not himself because of the assassins who prosper in their ways, because of the assassins who bring wicked devices to pass. He ceases from anger, forsakes wrath. He frets not himself in any wise to do evil. For, Lord, the evildoers shall be cut off. You are cutting off the evildoers. But Trump, who is waiting upon you, Lord, he shall inherit the earth. And, Lord, please also do the rest of Psalm 37 and the rest of Psalm 91 in Trump's behalf. And everybody's working for him and all of us who are with him, God, in Jesus' name, in your mighty name, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right, anyone else want to pray for Trump or his family or the cabinet? Lord, we thank you for all these good choices he's made for the cabinet lead. And we thank you, Lord, especially for Cash Patel. Lord, we thank you for your shield of protection around him as well. He's going to need it. He's dealing with some people there that don't mind doing nasty things. And Father, we thank you for doing that for Cash Patel and all the rest of the cabinet members as well. In Jesus' name. The reason that the WEF is putting the money out on him because they're scared for their lives. If they don't kill Trump, they're going to be taken care of. So that's probably what's in their mind. There's a lot of corruption in the world, in the deep state. Yeah, Missy.
Well, my thought was, you know, World Economic Forum. I mean, their whole economic forum is going to be ruined because of what the Gisara Nisara is. You know, it's going to totally ruin them, and it is ruining them. So that's a big reason why they want to kill him. You know.
Yeah.
Not only they know they're toast when he gets in there, but it's going to ruin them financially too.
We just did.
Yep.
We just did.
Amen.
They are taken care of. They are no longer a problem. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God.
Amen.
That's George Soros' bunch. His son now took it over. But now it's going to, nobody will have a chance to take it over. It's going to be dead in the water. All right. Anyone else? Amen. Hey, Josie. How's it going, girl? Yeah, Missy. Go ahead.
My mom asked me to for a prayer request for her friend Fran that's here in the retirement community. She has this rift with her stepson, but the bottom line is that she really needs to repent and believe in the Lord. And so I just want to pray for her salvation. Father, I just ask you to prick her in her heart, Lord. Convict her of her own sins, Lord. Help her to know that she needs your forgiveness, Father, because until she realizes that she needs forgiveness and realize that you gave your son, you love her and gave your son to take her place, to be punished for what her sins, Lord. Lord, just put that deep in her heart, Lord, and I ask you to grant her repentance, Lord. And I just speak love and peace and joy in her heart and forgiveness towards her stepson. And I thank you, Lord, for saving her and her stepson. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for her. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Julie?
Just something that was coming to my mind. We were talking earlier about Christmas and family members who don't know the truth about it yet. And I just pray, Lord, that these questions that have come up and situations, Lord, that you would lead and guide all of us, Lord, during this time of year, and to be gracious with all of them. Just be wise, and you know, the Christmas time is not necessarily the time to share that kind of stuff, because that spirit of Christmas is pretty strong, and people really do love the holidays. They love the lights. They love all the festivities. They love the parties. They love what they believe, what it stands for, what it means to them. So I pray for grace and wisdom and discernment, Lord, whether or not this is the time to share it with anybody. So we can just love on our families and be gracious to them, be wise in how we speak about any of that. And just help us, Lord, just to talk, keep the conversation about you. If there's anything having to do with Christmas, Lord, that we just center the conversation on Christ. And what he means to everybody, and make it easy for us, Father, and thank you, Lord, for giving us clear direction on it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for that. Glory be to God. It's been a lot of times in big families that it's been something that's been going back for generations. And, Lord, we ask and we pray for your grace and your mercy in our hearts to be weak to the weak, And we thank you for that, Father, but just to show the light of Christ in our life. If we're around family members during that time of family stuff, yeah, family tradition that they keep. Amen. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, and all the sickness that's going on during that time, too, and all that after Thanksgiving, and then comes after Thanksgiving and then Christmas, people get sick during that time.
Amen. That's right. I like the eating, though. That's the problem. Yeah. That's always fun. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Okay. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you that you'll just help us to help them. And Lord, there's also a lot of depression and oppression during that time of the season, the year. And we come against that in all of our families and also in our friends' families. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord. It's going to be a joyous time in the Lord. And I praise you, Father, that when we go, if we're with our families, each and every one of us are with our families, that we lift up Jesus a whole lot more than we do anybody else. And y'all know what I'm talking about. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, Nick.
And then we usually pray before every meal, too.
Amen. Yes. Praise God. Yeah, pray, just bless the food. Bless all the food, every dish of it, in Jesus' name. All the pies, the pecan pies, the ice cream, and all of those good eatings. Praise the Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Well, Pat.
Just a question. Where did that come out that Putin presented that information? You know?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Before it snooze, I'll be sure where it came from.
Okay.
Yeah. David sent it to me, and that's the reason I know about it. He sent it to me in a text a while ago, and I said, we got to pray against that.
Yeah.
So we did, and I believe Trump's going to be fine. Well, I know he is. He's going to be all right until God sees fit to take him out, take him down. He's going to be the last president, they say. Yeah, Debbie. Deborah.
Yes. Deborah has a question. I missed the first part here, so... Is this more than what is going on that you're praying against? It sounds like an assassination attempt, but there's been lots of those. It sounds like more. What did Pope Putin say? And I missed it. Sorry.
Okay. Putin said that there is a $45 billion with a B dollar bounty on Trump's head for them to. Somebody to kill him. And the reason is because they know that their time is short. And they got to do something, so they just put all that money. But we just sent the angels to take all their money away, so they're not going to have nothing to stand on. Take it away from him, from them, and give it to the poor.
Yes.
Give it to the people in South Carolina, North Carolina. Give it to the people down in Florida. Give it to the people down in Mexico. All of those places that have been ravaged by these crazy deep state storms. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yeah, we just prayed about that a while ago. And if you want to pray, that's fine.
No, I've heard it.
Okay.
I'd like to pray for something else.
All right.
My kids had a friend. His name is Mickey.
Praise God.
Where we lived. And he came to some of the youth group things, and we invited him to some church things, and he seemed to be touched by the Lord, but he battled drugs, and he's with these kinds that are back and forth and not really into Jesus, but he's contacted Victory. I guess she had him on Facebook, and asking her about wanting to actually start a, you know, quarrel or whatever, arguments over reincarnation. So she finally, he wouldn't listen to her, so she finally, he gets like, he wants to put his point across so strongly. And so she didn't block him or unfriend him. She did this thing of muting or something like that, where he can still be on Facebook to see her stuff. She didn't want to just go all out and just get rid of him totally. So he contacted me and he said, "Hey, Deborah, I've been talking about this and this and this with Victory, and can you send her these scriptures?" There were scriptures that spoke about not the physical, you know, presence of Elijah, like reincarnation, but the spirit. It's like he's saying it himself, but he can't see it for some reason. He's got something in his head. So anyway, I just wanted to pray for him. And he told me, I told him that, you know, I did tell her about this and told her about the scriptures that you sent and asked her if she wanted to receive them. And I don't think she wants me to send them to her because she already knows these and knows the truth about them. Then he said, I just want you to know that I do love Jesus. And then something about, but then he prays that Victor will see the truth. So about reincarnation. So I don't know. He loves Jesus, but he believes in reincarnation. So I want to pray for Mickey. He's confused. So, Lord, I just bring up Mickey, too. Lord, I thank you for all the input that was in his life from our church, from our family, all the talks that he had with Denny, Lord God, and that there was a touch on him long ago, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord, just bind the enemy, the lying enemy who is speaking to him and lying to him. And I command those lies to drop and to come off of him and every deception to fall away off of him in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, he be delivered. If he's not yet from still participating in drugs, you deliver him, Lord God, from these things, from this addiction, Lord God. And I don't know if he still has it, but God, I just pray that all this worldliness, all these things of the world, God, would fall dead to him, that he truly, truly would want to seek your truth and your word, Lord God, and that he would go to someone else, Lord. He knows of those in the area, that he would go to someone else for truth, Lord, and not try to bring it up on with people. And I just thank you that you gave me the boldness to tell him to this between him and her, and I didn't want him to bring it upon me and get any arguments. And so I just thank you that he received that and that he will not take it offensively, Lord. And Lord, that you would just minister to him and cause him to realize that he needs to seek the truth in your word, Lord, and receive it, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that if he doesn't truly know you, that he says he loves you, but God, just do that deep work in his heart, Lord God. I give him to you, Father, for a changed heart, changed mind, God, and a born-again spirit, God, that walks in your word, Lord, and walks with you, Lord. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for that testimony from him someday. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, Julie, go ahead.
I'd like to add just a little bit to that, to Debbie's prayer for Nikki. Holy Father, you know this young man, and we thank you, Lord, that he says he loves Jesus, and I thank you, Father, that he does have a knowledge and understanding of you, and we bind up and cast off of him all the spirits of confusion, all lying and deceiving spirits, anything that came into him through witchcraft and pharmakia, and just the wrong relationships that have spoken just deception into his mind about what your word says, and just these false ideas, religious spirits, whatever it is, that's put these thoughts into his head. We break it off with him in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for bringing light into his darkness where he's walking. I thank you, Lord, for bringing people into his life that he will listen to, that he would be humble to your word, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that you know how to do that with each and every one of us and our family members, our loved ones that we've been interceding for, Lord, that they would come into the light. And we pray that for Nikki, and that he'll be able to repent and renounce all these things and get the revelation. You can give him the right teaching. There's so many false teachings out there on that kind of stuff that it's just a matter of, you know, Satan deceiving a lot of people with idols and things too, so we break that off of them. And we thank you, Lord, for giving him a revelation of the true Jesus Christ, that you will reveal yourself to him, Father, and help give him that gift of repentance, Father, in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for all the prayers that go up for our loved ones, Father. You hear them, and they're answered in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay, anyone else?
I guess yeah, I'll say, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. Someone raised
their hand. Well, if everyone's done, I'll do mine last because it's nothing. I just want to confess and I want to speak truth saying that my washing machine does not leak. There's no leak in my washing machine. And praise God for sealing that hole in Jesus' name.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you for washing machines that don't leak, Lord. That's the best kind. Go ahead, Deborah. Debbie.
I just wanted to thank the Lord for my time at home. I didn't really have a big testimony, but it was just peaceful. I mean, it was peaceful in me. There were some things that were hard things, just family quarrels and fighting and things like that. But in me, it was peaceful. It was my concern for them, you know. And I had concern about being in the airport and stuff like that. And I had to cast on all these thoughts that the enemy was bringing me. Because I didn't know. I'm thinking, this is almost Chicago, you know. I'm thinking, who is in this airport, you know. So, but I had real peace. And I looked and waited to see if there was anybody I would be able to talk to. But you know, everyone you see, they're coming with their ears covered with their phones, earphones and stuff, you know, and getting the plane and in between two people and they go the same way, you know, so it's like, it's really hard to talk to anybody, but I prayed for an open door. I didn't really have one, but anyway, it was good. I was glad to be able to pray for a couple family members and sickness and things like that. And just to be able to be there and, it was wonderful. It was a good opportunity. So thank you, Lord, for that. For the peace he gave me. The end.
Okay. All right. Yeah, the bigger airports can be a little bit intimidating when you have to go from one end of the thing to the next. Thank you, Father. I'm kind of used to Little Rock Airport because I ain't nowhere near that. All right, anybody else got a prayer request or would like to pray? Yeah, Missy.
I just wanted to say my mom had outpatient surgery today and everything went fine. And she's fine, and she's just a little sore after the pain meds wore off, but she's just limited to what she can do. And I just thank you, Lord, for a quick recovery and for your mercy and your love and your grace upon my mom and bring her into the belief of you being her healer. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen.
She believes in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I need to pray for Jeanette. She's going in for cadillac surgery tomorrow. Also, did you get through, Missy? Okay. She's going to get another cadillac taken off of her eyes. Thank you, Father, for doing that for her and making it just as good as the last one was. But, Lord, she had a hard time with the meds. And, Lord, I thank you that it's going to be an easy time this time in Jesus' name. She's going to be seeing 20/25 in both eyes. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's done. Glory be to God. Don't get no Cadillacs on your eyes, boys. It's not good stuff. All right. Anybody else before we get started? Amen. Hey, yeah. Somebody get a good praise song up there right quick. Speak to a mountain or something. Glory to God. I'm going to speak to that mountain. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. Let's see. Give God the glory. Praise you, Lord, and thank you for bringing down our enemies. We win. They lose. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Listen, chocolate head. That don't look like, is that fudge? That ain't fudge.
No, this is Autumn, my mom and dad's.
Is her name Vanilla?
Autumn.
Autumn, oh, okay.
Yeah. Same kind of dog as fudge, except she's a lot curlier.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. But there was something else that I wanted to share with y'all also. Let me think about it here in a minute. Oh, South Korea. They had a uprising. The president going out was like our Republican, and the Democrats are coming in. They gained control. And he called in martial law, got the military in there, and going to pull down the communist. So that's another government that's being cleansed of the communist. Yeah, Missy.
I don't know if this is true or not, but I saw my mom and dad's news that he backed down off that martial law then. I don't know.
Well,
that's
I saw videos of the military storming the legislature in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if anything came of it or not, but it could be. We just prayed, David and I prayed that they go ahead and cleanse that government of all the communists. That's what it was. A communist from North Korea had infiltrated in there and had taken over. Just like they do down here, illegally. So praise God. Thank you, fathers, that he would see fit, the military would see fit to go ahead and cleanse that government. Lord, I ask the same thing for Venezuela and all the rest of the countries down in South America and Central America to cleanse them of all the communist anarchists. And then we praise you for doing that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You find something, Julie? Yeah, I can probably get something pretty quick.
I got something. It's one of my favorites.
Okay. That'll work. Let me get you ready to go here. Okay. You got it. Man, I like that song. That's a good song to get up and dance to. All right. Anybody got anything that they'd like to talk to before we get into? Yeah, Deborah.
Sorry, but I texted you a song. I heard an email, but didn't seem to go through. Did you get it in the text? The text to me.
If you text it during the outreach, I can't hear it. Yeah.
During that song, yes. I said if there's time, so if you don't want to, that's fine.
Army of the Lord? Okay. Yes. Can we do that Tuesday night? Maybe because I'd like to get into this subject that we're going to get into later. I'll keep this and I'll put it up there in my favorites deal, and we'll have it next time. Is that okay? Yes. Or maybe we'll have time when we get through.
Whatever.
Yeah, okay. Yes. All right. The subject tonight, does anybody know what the subject is? Uh-huh. That's what I figured.
Was it 1 John 4?
Yep. For what?
2 through 4 or something?
Look at you, okay. Barbara. Go on with yourself, girl.
And I wasn't even on the outreach. I played it back.
Well, I sent it out in a text or an email. I forget which.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. What I wanted to find out is your thoughts on. Let me read it to you. Let me read it to you. First John, chapter 4, verse 2 and 3 and 4. First John 2, 3 and 4. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3, and every spirit that confesses not Jesus is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it comes, and now it is in the world already. those verses have been used in deliverance ministry sometimes to test the spirits. Is that something that you can use these verses for? I'm asking. How many of you read Real Good News? Oh. Well, Real Good News, David explains it quite well, what it's used for. Does anybody remember what it was used for? How he used it? I'll go ahead and tell you the way that they use it in the ministry sometimes. The big ministries that use it that way, and that's wrong. That's not what that verses are talking about. Go ahead, Pat, or Ben, or Andrew, either one of y'all. Go ahead, Pat. Andrew succeeded to you.
I was just going to say, I think the way they use that scripture is that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is came in the flesh is of God, and so they use it that way in such a way that you know, saying that. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus came, well, all of the spirits confess that Jesus came 2,000 years ago. But I think David was very clear in explaining that this verse is cometh or is present tense, meaning that, and I believe this is what he was saying, is that this verse refers to Jesus coming in us, his word alive in us, which comes in our flesh, and he is in the process of coming in the flesh now within all believers. So that's as far as I got on it. But I think it's a present tense that Jesus is here in the flesh right now through the spirit of his word and faith in his presence in our life. So.
Okay. Could we say that?
It there.
Go ahead, Andrew, baby. That's close. Go ahead, Andrew.
I was going to give an example. I believe David gave this example when he was ministering in a church somewhere, that there was this person who was obviously demon possessed, and they wanted to prove him to see if he was a good Christian. And they were saying to the guy in reference to that verse, tell me Jesus came in the flesh, you know, and they're using it incorrectly because, it was pretty obvious that this person had some weird spirits on them. So, it's not used in accordance to the verse where it's, used on a personal level that Christ has come in to you. It's the indwelling spirit of Christ, as it would be in Ephesians 3:16. So, that's just an example on how some of the churches use it wrongly. That was right the way he explained it. I thought maybe with an example, I'm sure people can remember when he did that. When the guy was thrown through the plate glass window. Anyway, I think that one was it. Anyway, praise God.
Amen. Well, David was talking about testing the spirits of men and not spirits of demons, the demon. That's what he was talking about testing the spirits of man. I'll read it to you. He went ahead and quoted 1 John 4, 2 and 3. Then he said John was talking about testing the spirits of people. He wasn't talking about testing demon spirits. He was talking about the spirit of a person who is not born of God, because he talks about he who is in you and he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, my little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you and he that is in the world. And that's only two. That's Christ and the Antichrist. That's all it is. So that's what he's talking about, testing the spirits of people, not demons. And so that's awesome. Yeah. I have seen large Holy Ghost filled ministries doing this stuff. I'm talking about internet full. And they're doing it all through their ministry, you know, testing the spirits this way. How many of you know that a spirit will lie? A demon will lie? Yeah, they'll lie to you all the time. They don't mind. All right. Well, that was quick. What else? Yeah, Missy. Let me explain something, Missy.
Well, the thought came to me is that...
I must be running behind here. I see a late reaction here.
No, you're not, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
No, you're not, in Jesus' name. Your bandwidth is perfect, and you're not running behind.
Amen.
Anyway...
running a good race.
Oh, Lord have mercy. The thought came to me is, you know, the demons can even tell the truth, but for the wrong reason too. I remember, well, there's one place where the demons, declared to Jesus, you know, you're the Son of God, and he wanted them to be quiet because he didn't want them to be made known, you know. So just because a spirit may speak the truth doesn't mean it's the right spirit either. Just saying. My thought is I need to have a lot of discernment, you know.
You need to understand in
whatever situation it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What they're doing, they're taking the scriptures and twisting it around and not reading the whole context of what the scriptures say. No, it's not in Jesus' name. Internet connection is not unstable. It's stable. It's like a brick in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. So I'll let y'all talk. It's kind of hard to do it this way. Go ahead. I got another one for you. I throw it in the deal there if y'all wanted to see it. And that is, what was it I put up there? 1 John. No, that was in Matthew. Anybody got anything they want to talk about? Go ahead, Andrew. Go ahead, Ben. Somebody. Someone, somebody.
Okay. I'll go ahead. So when you kind of gave us those verses, it got me thinking about how it's incorrectly worded in some other Bibles where it says Jesus has come in the flesh. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of got me thinking about, like, it sort of changes the whole perspective of the whole verse itself, because, well, it's totally wrong, because he is come in the flesh through us. And so it gets people thinking of, like, a lot of people don't know that it's Christ in them that's working. They don't know, and so they don't know the power that's in behind, and they don't know that it's Christ living through them and all that. They probably understand that Jesus is with them, but they don't understand that he's living through them, is what I'm trying to say. And it gets me thinking about those verses that's like they're denying the master that bought. They may have, or they have a holiness about them, but deny the power thereof. So they have a bit of holiness about them, but they don't have the full power behind it. Like, they don't have the full understanding anyways. That's what I was sort of thinking about. Like, it's kind of sad, really, because they're totally missing the gospel. They're stuck on, they're stuck on forgiveness. They don't have cleansing. I don't know. That's just what I was thinking about when he kind of gave us those verses.
Amen.
The There's a couple of verses I kind of connected it to here. In a bunch of them. I've seen a bunch. 2 Peter 2 and 1, but false prophets arose also among the people, as among you also shall be false, among you also shall be false teachers, who shall privily bring in destructive heresies, denying even the master that bought them. They don't even know that the master, our master, is living within us. I think it talks about it in Jude. Crept in privily, something like that. For certain men have crept in privily, who were of old written of beforehand unto this condemnation, ungodly, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only master in our Lord Jesus Christ. These people are stuck in a wrong witness, a wrong word, a wrong life, and a wrong spirit. So their witness is no good. And God doesn't like that. He obviously gives a lot of grace to unknowing people, but he expects perfection. Well, he expects a cleansing. And we all know what happens when people speak incorrectly. It talks about it in Romans chapter 1. They give them, gives them a depraved mind. They just get worse and worse and worse. And it just got me thinking about how bad it is now. You know, some people are stuck in the whole forgiveness thing. You know, I'm forgiven, and it's awesome. We are forgiven. It's kind of a hallmark, like the greatest thing, one of the greatest things of our faith. We're forgiven of our sins, but there's so much more. It's so much greater than forgiveness. It's cleansing. And I think when a lot of people register or realize that they are cleansed of the sinful nature, not just cleansed of sins, plural, but sin nature, it kind of uplifts them. But a lot of people don't want to get rid of their sinful nature for some reason. They want to be full of that filth, and then, they're denying the master. They're denying the cleansing power that Christ wants to do through them. And it's just, I don't know. It's something that went through my mind, something that our Father's putting through my heart right now. And I don't know, maybe that's something we could talk about right now.
Okay. Go ahead, Pat.
I forgot to put my hand back down, but I was looking at that, those verses, and you said that David is saying that this is speaking about, that these are speaking about spirits in men or in people. Mm-hmm. And so I was just reading the first verse there. It said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." So John is evidently telling us to test the spirits in people, including the prophets, I assume, is what it looks like. "Hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Is it your experience in the churches that the prophets or the people in the church do not confess Jesus Christ in the flesh, coming in the flesh? Because I'm assuming this inference is, connected to us in our day, the age that we're in now. That we're talking about an apostate system, and that this system and the preachers, the prophets, in this day and age, are not preaching, I'm going to say, Christ in you, the hope of glory, or that revelation of Christ in you. So can this be applied in the same way for us, commanding us to test the spirits of what we are hearing through men?
Absolutely. Yes, you can. I can tell you why. How many of them believe that you're not going to get holy, you're not going to be holy or walk like Jesus walked until you're on your way up to heaven? A bunch of them. That's what their belief system is. You're not going to be sin free. You can't walk this holy life, this fleshly life in a holy way. You can't walk holy while you're here on earth, is what they think. They think that this holiness is going to come about when the rapture comes, and when they're going up, they're going to get this perfection thrown on them before they get to heaven.
And they believe that because that scripture says, in a twinkling of an eye, they will be changed.
Yeah.
And they're thinking that, obviously, that it applies to this sinful nature that we can't eliminate down here. It's going to be eliminated in that twinkling of an eye when I'm going up in the sky.
Let me tell you a little story, Pat, about that. I was in a Bible study one time with a preacher, and he had that same ideology that you cannot walk perfection here on earth. I said, the word says, be ye perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. He said, you can't get up out of your chair and walk to the door without sinning. So I just got up, walked over to the door, walked back, sat down. I said, I didn't think any bad thoughts. I didn't think any, because I was thinking, I'm going to get this guy. But I sat down and I said, I don't think I sinned at all. I just came over here and sat down. That was the end of that discussion. He didn't want to talk about it anymore. But anyway, that's what they believe. They teach them that garbage in theology school. Cemetery.
Yep.
They teach them that garbage. So yeah, go ahead.
So I guess I've been in Romans 8 for the last couple of weeks, and it kind of applies with what we're talking about there, because it's talking about the mind of the flesh, the difference between the mind of the flesh and the mind of the spirit. And the mind of the flesh we tend to think of the mind of the flesh as that mind that thinks sinful, lustful, thoughts and which it is, but I'm beginning to see that. Well, I'm not beginning to see it. It's just being reinforced in me that this mind of the flesh is the mind that is grounded and functions in the earthly principles that function. It's attached or centered in that, I think Paul calls the rudiments of the world, foundational rudiments of the world, or the way that this world or earth functions in the laws of cause and effect and gravity and, what goes up must come down and this frame of reference that mind that is based in the earthly functions in, but yet the laws of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus require us to open up and consider higher laws of cause and effect, I guess you might say. In other words, Jesus, even though he functioned on this earthly plane, there were times, and I think of the time when he sent the disciples across the sea, and he went up to the mountain to pray, and then it says that he saw the disciples, you know, that they were in the sea, and then he went to them, you know, and that was the, when he walked across the water, basically. Well, there was a couple of things that were happening there. He was, you know, he was functioning in the realm of the laws of the spirit, which are not limited to this earthly, rudiments or principles of functioning that are based in the earth. He was not functioning then in those. He saw across the, you know, from the top of a mountain, he saw down and saw the disciples that were struggling in the boat. And then it said he walked across the water. Well, he had to get down to that beach and, or, and get down to that water and walk across that water. He was functioning in the laws of the spirit, which I believe are connected to specific obedience to the Spirit of God and, you know, directing him where to go and how to go, etc. So I guess, I don't know why I got off on all that, but this mind of the flesh, I believe is that he's describing the difference between the mind of the flesh and the mind of the spirit. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, and they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. So I don't know. I don't know how that connects with what we were talking about in 1 John there, except that those that are teaching and preaching in the modern day church do not function in that realm. They don't have the ability, well, I won't say they don't have the ability, but they are functioning more along the principles of the earth and not released to function in the ways of the spirit. So, and I kind of find that a little bit difficult to understand because there's a major amount of our modern day church that has been, you know, received the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit and should be functioning in these things, but yet are not. So I don't know. Do you find the same thing, Michael?
Under Donald Trump for his 4 years.
You would have to ask me a question.
There was no new wars under Joe Biden that started.
Well, Ukraine, Russia, and the Hamas-Israel war started under Joe Biden's watch.
Sorry about that.
Do you believe it's the job of the United States Commander in Chief to lead by securing peace and reducing risk for the United States? Do you believe that? I think you probably do.
Of course.
Can y'all hear me?
That you should judge a president based on their results or based on their words?
Oh, my.
Both. Okay. So I do based on results.
In the background?
And on the basis of those results, we had no new wars under Donald Trump. We have at least 2 major new wars under Biden. I don't care whether Donald Trump calls some other world leader a friend or not. Like what I care about is whether he's advancing American interests.
Trump also talks about putting more funding into Israel.
Where is this thing coming from?
To further the genocide of the Palestinians.
Okay, we've already discussed that earlier, but I'm guessing.
There you go.
Charlie Kirk takes on a brainwashed CNN viewer. That's what I was listening to. I guess I couldn't hear it. I had these on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I forget the question.
when Pat, you put can you summarize that?
10 words or less.
I don't know if I can summarize that. I guess I was just talking about the mind, the difference between the mind of the flesh or this carnal perspective that we inherit from our fathers, and, you know, it is the Adam package, and the new walk in the Spirit, after the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, and how he releases us to at least be able to grasp the higher principles that function above the principles of the earth. That's as much of a summary as I can give, I think.
Was that a question?
I'm not sure if it was.
Okay.
I'm not even sure what I was referring to. I was connecting it with 1 John 4 that we were reading, and testing the spirits of men and the spirits that are coming through men. And maybe it didn't make the connection. I don't know. So anyway.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it's about. It's about testing the spirits of men rather than the testing the demon spirits. Go ahead, Andrew. Andrew's got the explanation right there.
Well, we all know that several sayings have come into the church. Mantras, I think is the word for it. And what they bring something in. And here's the danger. You could be a spirit-filled church. You bring in a mantra on how the end time is going to go about. And people start believing it because they might have some spiritual gifts like tongues and stuff, and they got this saying that has come into the church, you know, and now it's no longer it's not the true prophecy, but it's a false prophecy, and now it's being believed as true, you know. So you got a confused church here. You're going to have something that goes haywire here, because they take the letter and they make it the spirit. When they mocked Jesus on the cross about him tearing down the temple and rebuilding it, they spoke of the physical temple, but Jesus spoke of the spiritual temple. And even if they build a temple and it's beautiful, God's not going to enter into it. And that seems to be one of the items that they have in accordance with the letter. And of course, God would give them that because they might have a false prophecy somewhere else that doesn't even relate to this physical temple. And he wants to show them that they're wrong. The same way God would want to show that you're really not right in Christianity because, well, basically you're killing each other in wars, and God's trying to hint to this world leader not to do this, because it's going to lead a lot of people astray. You know, war is a very evil thing. It's going to make a lot of people kill each other, and they call themselves Christian, you know. And I believe that the First and Second World War was the catalyst to send us into the next age of iron and clay. And we all know by Daniel chapter 2 what happens there. There's a mountain in heaven where a rock comes out of it and destroys that iron and clay first, and all the other principalities of those who sit at the round table trying to mess up Christians. And those principalities are, of course, the gold, the silver, the brass, the iron, And of course, the iron and clay is a change, you see, and you can see some of the changes already. It's all over YouTube on how they don't really like when the clay nation people mix with the iron people and, or the vice versa, you know, and, this is not going to lead to peace. And, you know, you talk to people, they're so caught up in their understanding of what they think is true. It's even in the dictionary, but if you look up the word church, well, I forget what verse the word church is in the English Bible, even in the NENT, but they'll tell you that the church is a bunch of denominations or a building. And, you know, we've been told that church is to be called out. Called out of what? The nations. And at the same time, what did the United Nations do but call all those churches into it in the URI? So, you know, there's a lot of understanding, you know, the Lord can give a person, you know, you can see that the iron and clay, you know, I don't have anything against, immigration, you know, but if you're going to do immigration, you do it right. That's what I think should be done. It should be a legal thing. And, they're mixing them. And as that particular verse, I think it's in Daniel chapter 2, they won't cleave one to another. And of course, it's the only time period in the iron and clay where there's two elements. Yeah, there was two arms in the silver, Medo-Persia, which could have caused some conflict. But, you know, the two iron legs are there. You can tell who the leading iron of the left leg is and who the leading iron of the right leg is. The same with the clay and in the feet. There's iron and clay in one side because they're all mixed. And, that's the way it works. You know, the nations of Russia, they had an old USSR and there was quite a bit of mixture between iron and clay nations there. The iron took it over, but, under the USSR was a different thing from being under Imperial Russia. And, you know, there's quite a bit of understanding you can attain from the Lord. And there is, like it's in 4:2, 1 John 4 and 2 and to 4, but there's the spirit of error and then there's the spirit of truth. There's, like we were told, there's only two men on this planet, Christ and, against Christ. And, so, you know, there's a lot of different areas that parallel this, but, to be on the Christ side, you know, there's Galatia 2:20, you know, and that would, help you to even discern things for yourselves. And we always get practice with this. God is busily practicing us, the evil doesn't know that what they're doing when they're tempting us when we overcome, because we can overcome through the testing of this thing that's popping into your head. You know, you want God to pop things into your head. You don't want the tempter to pop things into your head, and you have to discern these things. You have to I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. And you know, I'm just trying to remember some of the things, you know, he told us when I first heard that here in UBM, he said, you see, the serpents is a corporate body of demon spirits that attack the mind. And the mind would give you a different understanding, you know, and a mantra would be of the flesh. If it's a mantra that's come in, that's against the spirit of God. Is it the word of God? Is it the word of God exactly? Is it the letter or is it the spirit interpretation of this word? And You know, they just come up. You know, if you're going to look at prophecy, then you look at the prophecy chapter in 1 Corinthians 14. It speaks of edification, exhortation, consolation. But a false will give you a false exhortation, a false edification. Just like they believe we're going to go in a pre-tribulation rapture. And which one's right? You know, is there any other errors that not, they may have in this particular congregation? Not just denomination, but if you were in a denomination, you would want the best person in that pulpit, especially if you're a family man. You want that man who's going to try to teach you or assimilate you into Christ. You would want the best of the best there. And you know, it's come a long way. You know, you can even see some of the people who teach on what the first three centuries of Christianity looked like, and they know it's different from what we have now. I have a video of a guy, he has a Christmas bulb in his hand, and he crushes it, and he'd say, the first century Christians would be shocked at what we're doing and what we believe today. And, of course, he taught a bit on Polycarp, Perpetua, and Felicitas. And I like those two young ladies in their 20s, Felicitas and Polycarp, Felicitas and Perpetua, because they're both young mothers. And one of them was a very intelligent woman who can read both Greek and Latin, came from an affluent family, whereas the other, her friend and her sister, through Christ, was a slave. And that she wanted to go together with her friend, her smart girl that she knows, into the Colosseum. And they did. They prayed about that, and they ended up going together because the slave girl was still pregnant. And it was illegal to send pregnant women into the Colosseum. So they prayed about this baby being born so that they could go together. And of course, they called it their birthday, or something like that. They called it a new birth because they knew after the Colosseum, when you die, you're going to be before the Lord and you're going to have your new body. So there's a lot of things you can learn, even from the secular people. But you know, I'm just mortified. When you read James chapter 4, talking about war and fighting and killing, and I don't know if they know what it says in James, but there seems to be the wrong side of this for most of Christianity. And this is why God has to be the judge. Because those young men that went out, I don't know how he's going to judge them. You know, he has to judge this because someone was led astray. You know, how does he do it? I don't know. I'll find out when it comes to happen. You know, so the spirit of error is a very bad spirit, and the spirit of truth we know to be in Christ Jesus, because he's the way, the truth, and the life. So, you know, I wish everyone would, in the church, would read Ephesians 3:16 and 17, because it talks about God's Spirit giving you power for the inward man, which is Christ in you, that Christ dwell, in the very next verse, 17, dwell is that inward man again in you. In your hearts, all in your hearts. And it's just so lovely, those two verses. You can get the full gospel out of those two verses there. And even more as you read to the end of chapter 3 in Ephesians. But you see, you can actually even see that the letter to the Ephesians was such a powerful letter to those those church brothers and sisters that we have a long time ago, that just the very next generation messed up, because you have that in second chapter of Revelation, the Ephesian church again with their mixed upness that came into them. So it does happen, you know, and God has to correct it. God is trying to clean up his sheep back then, and he's doing it even now. So that's what we have to consider. It's all in God's hands, you know. He knows what he's doing. He's the Father, and we have a wonderful new gift of new life in Christ Jesus. And we want to bear the fruit of Christ. And, you know, you either bear the good fruit or you bear the bad fruit. You know, that the guy in, if you read 3:16 to 3:21 of John, the people who hate the light won't be reproved. And you can see that happening now. They just don't want to be reproved. I think it's in 3:20 of John. And that's a different spirit. So the thousands of denominations that are all divided on different words or some sort of, I'm looking for a word here, can't think of it, narrative, that's the best way to put it. They're all divided on a different narrative. And the narrative is supposed to give you the fruit. You can either have the good fruit or the bad fruit. And this narrative is backed by the Spirit. It's backed by the life of Christ, the blood, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And even with that verse, people are confused. We have a witness, and the witness is living. You have choice to pick which side. As a called Christian, I believe you have choice, because he gives you authoritative verses. You know, like 2 Corinthians 7:1. You know, you can relate to the first three century Christians. They knew what they had to do. The occasion came upon them. They didn't volunteer themselves to go into the Colosseum. The occasion came upon them. Let God collect his gems to go to heaven. And when the occasion comes upon a person, he has to know which way to go, what is the truth. He's gifted by grace this discernment and understanding so that he would know which way to go. And that's with everything. And it's tough, because when you're going through something and you know what the word says about this, it's tough, but we want to love the Lord in all things. And I say that also wanting to always be ready and watching for what comes across my life, you know, and it's tough, because there's a world of opposition, worldliness, and then there's the heavenliness. And, you know, some people think, you know, that holiness is not an option. When holiness is promised to you, you shall be holy because I am holy. He that calleth you is holy, be therefore holy in all your behavior. All the fruits of the God's Spirit, of God's Holy Spirit, are behavioral. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the goodness, the gentleness, the faith, the kindness, and the self-control. Just as some people think that self-control is kind of military-like. And if you do apply it in the military-like, then you have to take your helmet of salvation, your breastplate of righteousness, your belt of truth, your sword of the Spirit, your shield of faith, and your sandals of peace. And you got to be careful with the dictionary because sometimes they might give you a saying, a mantra, like they do with the word church. And a lot of people, you know, they don't even know what the word hope means. So you can ask a person about their soul and how it functions, how it's supposed to function. They don't even know what their soul is or how it produces the fruit, because they don't have the life-giving spirit of Christ, which is First Adam, Second Adam of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I think 45. So there's a lot to this, these verses here. You can get it everywhere. You can get it in Matthew chapter 7, Sermon on the Mount, where it talks about bearing fruit. And plus John chapter 15. You're a branch. You got to have fruit on you. And you're supposed to be grafted into that vine. There, you know, there's, when you take a single word like fruit, like spirit, like testing the spirits, you know, there's a lot of other verses that apply, you know. In the very next chapter, there's the same short reference of words, is come in the flesh, is of God. So if you go to the next chapter, there's at the bottom something that sounds very similar, which it says, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. So here in 1 John 5:20, that's explaining the is come in the flesh, because he's giving us an understanding that we may know the true one. And we are in the true one, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And of course, you know, Jesus made a reference even according to the law in John chapter 10 about being children of God. So I'm not doing this because I want to show off or anything. As a matter of fact, it's been a while, because when you get into motion, it sometimes continues, and praise and glory to God.
Amen. Andrea, I enjoyed it. It was helpful. Thank you. Julie, you want to go ahead and play that song? Yeah. I think I got you already ready. Yeah.
Are we walking into the enemy's camp, laying our weapons down, shedding our armor as we go, leaving it on the ground? We've gotta be strong in the power of his might, prove to the enemy we are the army of the Lord, and we've won the victory. All around us, war's going on between the wrong and the right. We gotta choose which side we're on, the darkness or the light. Cause some of the soldiers of the Lord just don't realize that the captain of the army of darkness has come to blind their eyes. Are we walking into the enemy's camp, laying our weapons down, shedding our armor as we go, place to hide? Our shields of faith are full of gods to shoot from every side. Just shake out the dots and run right at them and remember who you're fighting for. Don't fall asleep, cause if they catch you, they'll tag you prisoner of war. Are we walking into the enemy's camp, laying our weapons down, shedding our armor as we go?
Amen. We won the victory. David, did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
Okay, that's a good song. I like that one. I ain't heard that in a while.
Yeah, it's an old one. I just remember that last verse. I don't know if I, you know, kind of okay verse to remember, right? It's kind of weird. I know it was getting that. But anyway, yeah, I love the chorus. Really. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, Nick, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I was wondering if you saw what my mom put in the chat down at the very bottom.
I'm trying to see. Vivek Ramaswamy.
Yeah.
What about him?
I just put that in there because that's who I thought was talking, but it was Charlie Kirk. I was wrong.
Oh,
when that
yeah.
whole thing was going on, that's all.
Well, no, Vivek Ramaswamy was with him.
Oh, it was him. Okay, that's
yeah, it was him. Sure was. I'm sorry about that, but yeah, that was who it was. Hey, he's going to be a great guy. When he gets in there, he's going to clean up the FBI. And we need to pray for him, you know, when he gets in there because he's in a dangerous territory there. They all are.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else got a prayer request before we close out tonight? That's a good night. I enjoyed it. I really did.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good one. Okay. Y'all be blessed, you hear?